On this episode of the Thrill Geek Podcast, we talk about my recent trip to Legoland, Florida to check out their new VR roller coaster. And we have Halloween Horror Nights 28 dates.
And he's back. He's got a team. We talk about the brand new Deadpool 2 trailer. All this and more on today's Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. We have quite a few things to get to today, so we're going to kind of dive into it first. But real quick, Barry's birthday was earlier. Your actual birthday?
March 26th.
The 26th. But he and a few of his friends got to go to Universal and get on a Mardi Gras float, so we'll talk about that really quick. So, Barry, how was your birthday extravaganza?
It was pretty cool. I mean, my birthday weekend ended up being a little bit more subdued than originally planned. I mean, Saturday we had dinner at Raglan Road, which was really cool, and got free bread pudding. What more can you ask for? Because that stuff is the bomb.
And voodoo donuts.
No, I didn't get voodoo donuts. I did finally get you a picture of voodoo donuts.
You did?
Yes. While I was at Raglan, everybody was apparently at voodoo donuts that day. But I would rather enjoy a nice meal than having to wait 45 minutes to an hour for donuts.
I agree. And it looked like your meal there was pretty awesome.
So, yeah.
And so after we went to the event, I can attest to that.
Yeah, and then Monday we went to Universal and got to we hang out with the one and only Shelby Denham, aka at Shelby Denham Art, and I got the birthday button. I had to wait in line for a little bit at guest relations to get it, and it worked out in my favor because went to get a butter beer because you know you can't go to Universal without getting a butter beer, and. Got a regular butterbeer, and the awesome bartender at Hogshead gave me a butterbeer mug.
Yeah, so, I saw that. That was really cool of her.
Yeah, that was really cool, and that was the one I don't have because I have the Diagon Alley mug, but I never got the Hogsmeade mug. So that was cool. That was a bonus, and went into Simpson's food court just to get a cup of water and got a cup of water, and the team member there was like, oh, you get a free cupcake. And I was like, oh, awesome, free cupcake. So I got one of their peanut butter and jelly cupcakes for free. And
how was that?
That was pretty good. I mean, they're not like big cupcakes, but you know, it's you always see them there at the checkout. So, yeah. Hey, free cupcake. Who can't pass that? And then of course the topper of the night was getting to ride a Mardi Gras float, and also not just getting to ride a Mardi Gras float and tossing beans, but getting to ride one of the new ones, the Taurus float, which also has fire shooting out the top of it.
That's right. So, I forgot that one has the flames.
Yeah, it has the flames, and we were on the top level. And, you know, after going through trying to get team member friends to get us on a float, and even I tweeted at Universal Orlando, and they were like, oh, we'll use the standby line, you know, unlike you know, everybody else who seems to tweet at them and gets wristbands. But, you know, we were told that it was full that day, and, yeah, we had no problems getting wristbands. I don't know if it was because it stormed and rained for a little bit, so some people left, but... Or as usual, I'm sure as many people who book the floats, they always people don't show up. So we waited maybe 10 minutes in the standby line and got a wristband. So it was a blast. It's always a blast riding the Mardi Gras float. I cannot recommend it enough. And like I said, check out the standby line. Go there around 5:45, 6 o'clock. Most cases, especially on weekdays, you're gonna get a wristband, yeah. And you're gonna end up on a float.
And like you said, it's so much fun. No matter how
it is, so much fun. It is. You know, it is. You feel like a rock star because people are screaming at you.
Yep.
You know, waving at you. I mean, it's hard to describe when your float goes through that gate because it's like this wall of sound hits you as it goes through the gate, because it's all quiet when you know you're hearing the music, and that's about it as you're going through the backstage. But then once you hit that gate, yeah. It's just like this wall of noise that you
yeah, because backstage you're hearing nothing but the sounds of like maybe a few generators running, and then
yeah, the generators and the music, and that's about it.
Once you go out that gate, it's hollering and screaming and the music, and it's a good time.
It's a blast. There's nothing more fun, and you know, I've done it enough times that I'm just like chucking beads like a madman. And you know, we since our float didn't have a full, you know, we only had 18 of the 24 spots filled, we had a ton of beads. And you know, and all of us on the top level had done it before, where everybody, it was like a group from Alabama who were on the bottom level, and they hadn't done it. So they were moving so slow that they were like grabbing the bead captain was grabbing the beads from down there and moving them up to us to get them out of the flow. Cause obviously, you know, they don't want to come back with any beads.
Yeah.
That's the goal. And, so it's always a blast. And of course, you know, being, you know, the week before Easter, it was packed. So, you know, it's always a blast doing that. Like I said, like you've said, I've said, we cannot recommend it enough. And it's not that hard to do if you go at the right time to get on a float. And as cool as it is experiencing the parade, watching the parade, there is nothing like being on one of those floats and tossing beads.
Yep. It's quite an exciting time. Like I said, no matter how many times you do it, it always ends up being a blast. So,
and you had a little experience this past week too, at a little place called Legoland.
Yeah. I went down there with my oldest son, Jordan, and they invited us down there to check out, the Great Lego Race VR roller coaster. Which is basically, they took their, Technics coaster, I think it was called, and, gave it a paint job, some new theming, new queue line, you know, decorations, and gave it a new name and threw VR on it. And they had a little grand opening ceremony with all the different, you're racing against all the different Lego groups. Like there's a Pharaoh, there's the wizards, the pirates, there's like surfer guys. And then there's like the girly girls. I forgot what the exact name is, but you know, they're like the girl Lego sets. So when you strap on the VR helmet, that's what the race is. You're racing against all these different Lego classes. And the VR helmets are really cool. As most of you've seen my new Twitter profile picture, the VR headsets have little Lego faces on it. So it looks like your face is like a Lego person.
Yeah. And if you want to see reverse POV of you and your son riding, we have that on the YouTube
channel.
Yeah,
I was kind of bummed out about that. I thought they were going to do a split screen. So you saw, so you saw what the VR was. Unfortunately, I'm not that technically inclined to do a split screen video. I probably could have if I looked into it. So, but yeah, the video is up there of me and my son riding it. My son's reactions are pretty hilarious. He really gets into it. And surprisingly enough, I actually really enjoyed it. The VR was pretty well done. It's pretty similar to some of the other VRs that we've seen on roller coasters. The Freedom Flyer at Fun Spot, the Kraken Unleashed. I don't think it's as good as that. Kraken Unleashed VR was really good. Although it killed load times and you know all the bad stuff about VR on roller coasters. The Kraken Unleashed one was probably the best, but you know, this is Legos. So, and you're a Lego character yourself, which is the first time Legoland's done this. The first time they've actually designed a ride where you're a Lego yourself. The surprising, you know, going back again to the biggest issue with VR on roller coasters is the load time and the wait times. And obviously they were having issues, not issues, but they were having slow load times that morning for the media event because they were having to switch out the GoPro because they were filming. I came back later in the day with my son and I was timing the dispatches and they were getting a train out about every, I mean, some dispatches were 30, 45 seconds. And I think the longest I saw was like a minute and a half or so. So dispatch wise, it really wasn't that crazy. I mean, yeah, it was busy. There was a long line. Now, was that due to the VR? I don't think so, because like I said, they were actually getting trains out in a timely manner. They have a whole dedicated section to cleaning the VR helmets, getting them all prepped and everything. So it's not like this process that takes place, you know, like they don't take off the VR helmets and the same person gets them ready for the next group. Like it's this whole separate room where they get the VR helmets cleaned and ready for the next group. So it actually flowed pretty well. And I was pleasantly surprised as to how fast they were getting, given they're only prepping four people, not 32, which is what, you know, like Kraken can hold. So,
yeah, I mean, I wonder if VR could work the best on a wild mouse.
I think that was kind of the conclusion I came to. I was like, well, maybe, you know, maybe VR may work on these smaller capacity roller coasters because it's the prep time that's ridiculous, you know. But,
and I think really if you could build it, after you told me that and I thought about it, if you could build it from the ground up and have a way where like your loading is on a track off to the side and you can load multiple cars at the same time, and then you know, then the car goes back onto the main track, you could definitely, I think, speed up dispatch on obviously a four person car. But you know, you're like you said, it's still the dispatch, even if they're doing like 30, 45 seconds, that's still way slower than the normal wild mouse of dispatch, which is usually, I think, around 15, 20 seconds is like a normal dispatch on a wild mouse. Cause it's basically hop in, bars down, go.
But I liked it. I think, you know, and again, Legoland isn't they have their busy days, but they're no Universal or Disney. So between that and the smaller capacity on the roller coaster cars themselves, only prepping four people instead of 20, 30, I'll be interested to see how it does down there. But I enjoyed it. It's a fun upgrade for that coaster. We kind of hung out there the rest of the day and, you know, did every, I love Legoland. Every time I go down there, you know, I almost have as much fun as my 7-year-old. We went and did Ninjago and all the other really fun rides there. And I discovered they're adding a Last Jedi section to the Star Wars Miniland, which will be making its debut for Star Wars Weekends or whatever it's called. Star Wars, whatever Lego. Yeah. Whatever Legoland Florida's Star Wars event is, though, but they're adding a Last Jedi section to Miniland, which will be really cool.
Star Wars days.
So I discovered that, and we just hung out and had a good time, and always fun as usual with Legoland. So I liked it. It was fun. The VR, the Great Lego Race, and they gave me a cool little Lego trophy. So, yeah. Anyways, thanks Legoland for having us out, and we'll be back, I'm sure, because we all love Legoland. So, moving on, we got some we got backwards holiday announcements from Universal. we got details for their Christmas holiday festivities. Pretty much. In a nutshell, everything is returning. The Christmas at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is returning. Grinchmas. The holiday parade featuring Macy's is returning. And Mannheim Steamrollers. So nothing really changed, added, you know, taken away.
No, nothing really new. I know there's been some rumors out there that there is going to be, I mean, I've heard rumors, I'm sure you had too, that there's possibly going to be a few additions maybe this year.
Yeah, I've seen hints here and there. I haven't really seen details, to be honest. I have not.
Because they're really trying to go after Christmas now.
Well, we saw that last year
was a shot. Yeah, I mean, and they're really, you know, really trying to go after Christmas now. And
I mean, just last year,
so
Potter decorations and the Potter nighttime show, and the updates to the parade, that was huge in itself.
Yeah, I mean, that parade was amazing, the Potter stuff, and like I said, I know we've heard some rumors that there may be a few new things. I think all the park decorations, I believe, were new because they were all had, like, LED lighting. And
we got dates.
So it'll be interesting to see because no one has really stepped up to fill that hole that Osborne Lights left. As far as the holiday season goes. So I keep waiting to see if Universal is going to try to make a move into that type of arena. Cause you know, it's nobody's come close to coming up with anything that rivals that.
And dates are November 17th through January 6th for Universal Orlando's holiday festivities. So that's.
Yeah. Once again, I like that running through January 6th, you know, I don't know why Disney World here doesn't do it, because I know Disneyland runs theirs until that following weekend after New Year's. So
flipping the coin here, today we got Halloween Horror Nights 28 details. We got dates and we got tickets are now on sale, single day tickets. So we got Christmas first and then Halloween today. So Halloween Horror Nights 28. It will run from, we're starting all the way on September 14th this year, and we are going select nights through November 3rd. So it looks like it's a pretty similar schedule to last year's event for 27 compared to 27. Wouldn't you say so?
I believe, was it 34 nights? I think that's what it is.
I didn't go through and count. Yeah. I think it was like 34.
And, once again, was it 5 days a week the last 5 weeks last year? I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
I realize we could go look at the article, but it's jam packed. We're starting September 4th, around that time again this year. They didn't decide to get crazy like Disney did and start the Halloween stuff. What is
in
it?
August.
What is it? Almost mid August this year.
Yeah, that's just insane.
The Halloween parties are starting. it's we didn't get, the only ticket deal they've revealed so far is like now through June 6th, you can buy a night, get a second night free for Sunday through Friday. To be used any Sunday through Friday on an event night. They released the hotel packages. So we still don't know what the frequent fear, whether they're finally going to super jack it up or whether it's just going to go up a little bit like it has every year. It's like they don't want to kill the golden goose.
Yeah, there were a lot of people on Twitter I noticed asking, like, where's the frequent fear plus? Where's my frequent fear?
They don't release that stuff till summertime. So
yeah. We got not really details, but we got information on how many houses, how many scare zones. It's going to be 9 haunted houses, same as before, and 5 scare zones. excuse me.
Same as before.
Yeah, and they also, I was skimming through the press release, and they said we'll see iconic horror films, cult classics, terrifying TV shows, and, of course, the originals, which everybody looks forward to.
Yeah, so we can get into rumor territory. It's something we don't really usually get into when it comes to the website or social media. Let me say what I've heard and see if this is what you've heard. I've heard it will be 2 shows. One of them will obviously be Academy of Villains, whether they're moving into the Fear Factor stage. It seems to be leaning to that.
Yeah.
We'll see. I would assume if they did move into Fear Factor, we would get a more elaborate show than the show they've been doing. And then I've, you know, I haven't really heard what that second show would be. If it's out where it would normally be across from Mel's, whether it would be something shorter. But allegedly there will be two shows. But the big thing is houses and the rumors. This is the rumors I've heard. I mean, some of this is can't say where I've heard it from, but I mean, I basically have heard as far as IP goes, we're talking an It house, a Stranger Things season one house, a Halloween, as in the new Halloween.
Oh, the Blumhouse.
Yeah, the new one coming out this October.
Yeah.
A new version of Nightmare Before Elm Street. There was one other one I can't remember off the top of my head. Maybe you've heard any other different things.
That about sums up what I've heard. I mean, you know, the Stranger Things talk has been ongoing forever. I heard about the Nightmare Before or Nightmare Before Christmas. That would be interesting. No. excuse me. The Nightmare on Elm Street one and the Halloween one I heard just recently. I saw that rumor online and the It house, of course. It and Stranger Things, like those rumors started like immediately after 27. I think even before 27 ended.
We're
the movie did so well at the box office. Everybody was like, "Oh, it's coming out." When a horror movie does good at the box office, like around like Halloween Horror Nights time, everybody's like, "Oh, it's coming Halloween Horror Nights."
Yeah, I mean that's true. But, you know, they've always had a very hard time ever getting anything Stephen King. I mean, look how it took years for them to get The Shining.
Yeah.
But maybe things are different now. And albeit this is a chance for them. They would, if, you know, the hope would, because basically this is It Chapter One. There is a Chapter Two coming.
Yeah.
So you could in the future be looking at another house. Stranger Things, like I said, from what I've heard, is season one. Both houses would come with high expectations. And I think, you know, it obviously would be the easier one to do the scares, but I think some of that might have to do with how well the makeup or the masks or whatever they use for the Pennywises in the house.
Yeah.
That's going to be, I think, is going to live or die that house. Because if it looks stupid, if it doesn't look good enough, it's you know,
kind of like the Shining house with some of the
Johnny mask,
yeah,
the Johnny head foreheads,
so horrible last year.
It's always the hard thing when you're dealing with a huge property like that. And the irony too is we would have two houses that would take place in the 1980s. You'd have, you know, the Stranger Things would be earlier in the 80s while it takes place later in the 1980s.
The only thing is, humor me for a second here. I love Stranger Things. I absolutely love the show. But what is scary about that show besides the Emmy, whatever, how can they do a haunted house on that show?
That's my worry with that house, especially if it's rumored that it's season one, your only real monster is the Demogorgon.
Yeah. And.
And I mean, you can do different things. You can obviously have like the scene in the living room with Joyce with the lights, and you could have the Demogorgon pushing its way out of the wall or something like that.
Yeah.
You could have a couple. You could have maybe a jump scare of inside the lab with someone in one of those hazmat suits, yeah, jumping out. But it's to me, it's because you think of iconic moments from season one and none of them are scares. I mean, probably the biggest icon, iconic moment is, you know, 11 flipping the van over them as they're being chased. Yeah. You know, that's probably the most iconic moment from season one.
Season two was far more terrifying than one.
Yeah, a house based on season two is going to be a lot easier because you have a lot more creatures to jump out and do things. So you're going to have two houses where the expectations are going to be super high. I guess on the good part, you're going to have two houses that are really going to draw the crowds.
I forgot who I was talking to, but I can't imagine the wait for the Stranger Things house. I don't even want to think about that.
And I can't remember if I've heard that that's going in the parade building. The old parade storage building.
Yeah.
Because I've heard something that either that building was supposed to have been cleared out by now, or I mean, because they're starting construction.
Yeah.
If they have it started on some of them already, they're starting soon.
No, I would, you know, I hope we, I, you know, when the Stranger Things rumors started, I was like, I would love to see a Stranger Things haunted house. But the more I thought about it, I was like, what's scary about Stranger Things? And I'd hate to see it become like the awkwardness that was the Ash versus Evil Dead haunted house, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, another Halloween house. I mean, it's
the last Halloween house we got was really good.
Yeah. Well, the last two we've gotten based on the original Halloween and then Halloween two were amazing, especially that Halloween house based on the first one.
The facade of the front of the house.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that one was amazing. Yeah. I mean, that one got me a bunch of times.
Yeah, that one was really good.
You know, so it's you know, yeah, it's been a year off. So, I mean, we'll see. And of course, a lot of it has to do with the new movie. And then another nightmare house. That's going to be a hard one. I mean, I realize some people may not go that far back, but the one from, was it 17 or 16? The one where you were testing the sleep drug. Where you sleep while you're awake. That house was one of the scariest houses.
When was the Freddy versus Jason one? I can't remember when. I was trying to think, because that one was kind of cheesy with the screens and everything.
Yeah, because, yeah, no, I remember that was that 24?
I can't remember.
But that one from I think it was either Sweet 16 or 17, that was one of the most terrifying houses I ever experienced, because you went through part of the house and then they hit you with a bright light which of course causes your pupils to dilate, and then you could not see anything trying to get out of that house. I don't know. And obviously, you know, times have changed and I don't think they would ever pull something like that now.
25.
But that house was terrifying. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. Whether they go, like I said, with, you know, classic, maybe that's, they're going to do a classic house based on, cause I don't know if they've done one that's based on the first movie. I think every time they've used Nightmare Before Elm Street before, it's been some sort of original concept. So it might be neat to go if they're going back to the original movie.
You said Nightmare Before Elm Street, just like me.
Yes, I got Nightmare Before Christmas
on Elm Street.
But you know, we can speculate all we want. You know, they're going to trickle out the information however they want, because they could wait until 2 weeks before the event
and still sell out
to tell people what's coming. It would still sell out. They're at that point now where this, you know, they don't need to build the hype train anymore. It's like it's so funny seeing people get so like upset and pissy online. It's like they don't need to build the hype train. The hype train already exists.
Yeah, but hopefully now that we have tickets on sale, we have dates, Because I looked at my timeline, and today, actually 1 year ago today, we got the American Horror Story House for 27 announcement. So this time last year, they were already announcing.
Yeah,
I think
we're gonna, we'll see. They're just gonna trickle out the info.
So there you have it. We have our dates. Tickets are on sale now. Like Barry said, they have that BOGO deal, which is actually a pretty good deal. You buy a night and you get a second night free, which is $78. So there's that going on. And then, of course, you got all your usual hotel packages where you stay at the Cabana Bay Beach Resort and all that fun stuff. So I posted all the details on ThrillGeek.com. I actually posted the article right before we started recording. So it's there.
What? Yep.
It is there. So moving on, I think that's it for theme park stuff we wanted to talk about,
right? Yeah, we can move on to some pop culture stuff. The only really news we have is a couple of trailers. Deadpool 2 dropped its what I'm assuming really is its really first official trailer. And it's Deadpool, except now he's going to have a team. So yeah. He creates his own X-Force. Based on his trailer, it looks good. You know, I mean, the first movie was great, and this seems to expand on a lot of the things from the first movie, except now we don't have to set up stuff anymore. We can just get right into the story. And, you know, I'm excited for it. I'm crossing my fingers. It feels like the last couple of summers we've been so hyped on stuff and only to be disappointed by a lot of it. This summer seems to have a lot of stuff, a lot of huge hype, a lot of big things, and hopefully this is one of them, and hopefully it lives up to the expectation.
There's actually people that are more excited for Deadpool 2 than Deadpool 2 than Avengers.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm definitely not one of those people. I mean, Avengers is 10 years, 18 movies of build up to this moment. So.
Yeah. The Deadpool 2 trailer looked good. The whole X-Force thing, I'm not too familiar with the Deadpool comics, so I'm basically following, you know, the movies.
Yeah, and the great thing about this, I mean, you don't have to be familiar. I mean, it pretty much explains itself, or Deadpool will turn to the screen and explain it to you. So
yeah.
So other than that, that's about that on that. I mean, for TV, there's been two major trailers released this week, where the season 2 for The Handmaid's Tale, which is on Hulu, was released. You know, that won all the awards last year. It's an amazing show. It's dark. It's a little scary, too close to possible future reality sometimes. But season 2 looks to continue to be good. And then, you know, one of my favorite shows wasn't from last year, because this is how long it's taken to get another season. Westworld is coming back with us.
I got to finish. Me and Cheryl started. We actually started watching Westworld. We got like, I want to say like maybe 3 or 4 episodes into the first season. I want to keep going. It definitely caught my interest.
I know that. I mean, that first season is just it's just like a mystery you're trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's
the, you know,
that was my problem at first. I'm watching like the first few episodes and I'm like, what the hell is going on?
What's going on? What is reality? What time are you seeing at that moment? You don't, you know, all these things that unfold on that first season to get to that finale. And another thing, like many of the, you know, good TV shows right now, it looks like a movie. Each episode is like a mini movie. One of the coolest things I love about the show is the use of like songs, but using like a player piano version of it, of like, you know, they've used like Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun, some other songs. And the cool thing, this trailer was, they used a piano version of Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box for the trailer. And this season, just looking at the trailer, looks even more like visually stunning and than the first
season. Oh, the soundtrack is, speaking of which, I think it's done by, I can't say his name for the life of me, but he does Game of Thrones too.
Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to it. And those are two shows coming up at the end of April. So we're in the time of peak TV where there's just so much amazing television on, and it's like finding the time to watch any of it is
hard. Tell me about
it. I mean, you got three kids. I don't, but I still have a hard time finding time to watch it, everything I want to watch. Speaking of not TV, but more like video, Star Wars The Last Jedi is now out.
Everybody saw my picture on Twitter. I just got it today.
Yeah, I mean, I picked up the 4K Blu-ray.
It's so pretty.
Oh, it's I watched some of it last night, especially that Jedi that lightsaber battle scene in the throne room is just jaw-dropping. I mean, it was jaw-dropping in the movie theaters, but to be able to see the detail, and it's just amazing. I mean, I've dived into 4K Blu-ray this past Christmas. Now the one for out of the ones I've gotten, the Last Jedi one is the best picture quality I've seen so far. I mean, the movie was visually stunning. To me, it's the most visually stunning Star Wars movie ever created.
What was the first 4K Blu-ray that I got Guardians Volume 2.
Yeah, Guardians 4K. Was the one that to me had the best transfer out of the ones I had seen so far. I mean, it just popped like crazy. I also got Thor Ragnarok, and that didn't pop as much as I thought it would. But Last Jedi is just jaw dropping as far as the visual quality goes, and that throne room battle scene is one of the greatest scenes to me in all out of any Star Wars movie.
We had to get the kids to bed, so we stopped at I think we stopped it right when Luke boarded the Millennium Falcon and he saw R2 and everything. So we just started. But then we had to get the kids to bed, and I had to come in here and record this podcast.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's
excuse me. We'll finish tomorrow. But so far, just the opening scene with Poe and when Rey gets on the island.
Yeah.
And it's, the detail, like I can see, like you're looking at all the fine details when you're watching this in 4K, and it's just amazing. Just people are like, oh, 1080p to 4K isn't that big of a difference.
Oh, no.
Trust me, if you have a good enough TV, it's noticeable. Really noticeable.
You got to remember too that 4K Blu-ray is I mean, because I've also got Netflix I paid the extra $2 a month for 4K streaming, and this stuff looks great. But it's streaming is nowhere near the quality that the 4K Blu-rays are. It's a whole, they use that entire Blu-ray. They only put the movie on there.
Yeah. I mean, with streaming, you're going to get, degradation, from anything streaming, you're going to get lesser quality.
Yeah. So. And I even checked out the Movies Anywhere. I did watch some of the version that only has John Williams' score on it. I skipped through some of that. And
how was that?
That's pretty cool too. Just hearing, even though I sort of wish they had subtitles for that one. But I guess the whole point of it is just to watch it with the score. And I skipped through some of it, and it's pretty neat watching some of those scenes.
So there's no dialogue and there's no talking.
No dialogue, no sound effects, just the score from the movie.
So. Interesting. I'll have to give that a watch.
Yeah,
because I love John Williams, so I could probably enjoy that.
Yeah, it's a nice little extra when you redeem your digital version. So it's a nice little extra to have.
Yeah, I got to do all that and do the digital code and everything. So,
I mean, I'm looking forward to watching it many times. So,
yeah, it's nice to have it in your house ready to go. So, all right, I think that's it. I think we can wrap it up kind of short today. Any last minute bits you want to get in here?
No, next to our next podcast, I should have my review of Ready Player One. I'm planning on seeing it this weekend.
I was going to ask you that. When we started talking about movies, I was going to ask you.
I'm probably going to see it maybe Easter Sunday. Just trying to figure out a time, and fingers crossed, I will finally get to experience Star Wars Secret of the Empire at Disney Springs. So I will be able to finally talk about that. And
when are you going to do that?
Crossing fingers is Saturday. So
gotcha. So do cast members get a discount for that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if it's reached the point yet where they might start giving, because it, I'll have to find out because I'm going to be with some cast members for it. And so I'm looking forward to finally experiencing that. And
tomorrow we got, I got my good friend Russell Holly. He's actually heading there tonight. He's going to be at Busch Gardens Williamsburg tomorrow morning, checking out their new Battle for Air attraction. So he's going to be there tomorrow checking that out, and I'm going to try and get him on the podcast. And, you know, like we talked about earlier with the Legoland roller coaster in VR, I think he'd be really cool to talk to just about theme parks and VR in general, because he actually kind of heads VR Heads website. So his knowledge of VR is far beyond mine. So maybe we can get him here on the podcast and obviously talk about Battle for Air at Busch Gardens, but also just have a chit chat with him about what he thinks, you know, theme parks could do as far as virtual reality goes and all that fun stuff. So he'll be there tomorrow morning. I told him to send me some pictures on Twitter and I'll get those up there. And he's also going to do a review of it. So he'll be there tomorrow checking that out. Thanks to him for getting up there and checking that out. So anyways, I think that's it.
Yeah. And maybe one day we'll try Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah, we'll get there. You know, I was going to try and get there so we could talk about it on this podcast, but I just, you know, I kept seeing the 45-hour-minute wait.
No, sorry, they're
great donuts and all, but I'll wait.
I think I waited 10 minutes at Universal Hollywood. I can wait 10 minutes for donut. I'm not waiting that long for donuts.
Yeah, so as soon as we both get to Voodoo, we'll be sure to bring it to you here on the podcast.
Maybe in the future, maybe we'll buy a coffin of donuts and have a Thrill Geek meetup. Who knows?
Yeah. So.
But who gets to keep the coffin? That'll be the question.
Oh, I will. I'm Mr. Halloween at my house.
Sin was like, I'll go halvesies with him if I get the coffin.
How much is it? It's like $120, $130.
Well, it's $130-something. That's before your discount.
Pass holder discount, yeah.
You do get a pass holder discount on the coffin.
So, all right, guys. That's it. Follow us on the Twitter, at Thrill Geek, Facebook, facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Give us a like there and subscribe to our YouTube, youtube.com/ThrillGeek. We got some new videos up there. Like I said, my Legoland VR roller coaster videos up there. We got the new Pirates of the Caribbean with the new redhead scene up there. So some fun videos for you guys to check out there.
And we got at Thrill Geek on Instagram, where we post pretty pictures.
Pretty colorful Instagram pictures. And our newsletter. Sign up for our newsletter, please. Thrillgeek.com/newsletter. Throw your name and email in there. And I'll get this week's out probably tomorrow. So, anyways.
You mean tomorrow as in when you post a podcast too?
Yeah. I usually get slammed with the podcast and the newsletter all at once because I'm busy like that. So, anyways, I'll get it done. So.
And I'm at Culture and Thrills on Twitter, and you can check out my Twitter feed for a little bit more pop culture stuff. So,
yeah, I'm my Twitter account is IMCGEED. I've been more prevalent on there lately instead of the Thrill Geek account. I'm trying to kind of separate myself from the Thrill Geek account, as people have associated the Thrill Geek account with me over the last several years. So follow me on my personal account, and I'll try to be on there more often than not. So,
well, it's so hard. It's so hard running personal and professional accounts.
Yeah. Like I said, like when you were talking the other day, I was like professional. But yeah, follow me on my personal account. I'm on there, quite often, and I try to have fun on there too. Just as much fun as if I was on the Thrill Geek Twitter account. So, all right, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys again next week. Bye.
See you in the parks.